He is risen.
He is
risen indeed. We're so glad that you're with us this morning at the Vineyard. My name is Luke. I'm one of the pastors here. And wow, what an honor it is to have all of you with us this morning to worship and to sing together and to pray together and to hear some scripture reading. And I'd like to actually start off with a semi-important question for us, actually. What are your plans for Easter today? And what I mean by that is, what are you eating? Just want to make sure. How many of you are doing ham this morning? All right. I will not be going to your house. How many of you are doing turkey? All right, okay. How many of you are doing prime rib or tri-tip? All right, I just want to let you know I'll be at your house because I like the tri-tip. You know, when my wife and I moved here about almost 2 years ago from northern Wisconsin, where we had been pastoring for 11 years, we had never had tri-tip before. And so when we got here, everybody's like, "Have you had tri-tip?" I was like, "I've never heard of that before." And then after I had tri-tip, I now have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. I would like to read a passage of scripture for us this morning. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to spend a few minutes talking about the resurrection of Jesus and thinking about why it is so important for the Christian faith. And so I'm going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 7 and verses 14 and 17. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said." He goes on to write, "He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles." Verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless." Verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins." And so I think, like, Easter is obviously it's my favorite holiday. I love Easter. And, like, leading up to Easter is just a really exciting time because of the fact that we're focusing on the resurrection of Jesus. But I think that, if you might agree, but I think that Easter is actually a pretty commercialized holiday. Anybody agree with me with that? Yeah, it's pretty commercialized. In fact, I was, like, kind of spanning and scanning different cards that exist out there, and here's three different cards that I came upon. First one is, "Happy Easter. Wish you an Easter filled with love, peace, and joy of springtime." I have no idea what that actually means. This is another one. "On Easter, I wish your heart is full of every good feeling a happy Easter can bring." Okay. And then this card is another one I saw. It said, "Easter tells us that life is to be interpreted not simply in terms of things, but in terms of ideals." Ah, so warm and fuzzy. And so, like, as I was thinking about all these different Easter cards that exist that have nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus, this is how I would summarize these statements. If we were to think about Stuart Smalley staring into a mirror saying, "Easter means I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me." But in the passage of scripture we just read, we actually see that the Apostle Paul states that the Easter message is the foundation to the good news of the kingdom of God. It's the fact that Jesus died for our sins and that he was raised from the dead, which grounds the Christian faith. And that's why I believe, actually, that the physical, tangible resurrection of Jesus is such an important topic for us this morning. For without the resurrection, if there was no resurrection, what the Apostle Paul actually says, he says, "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless." I'm wasting my time this morning. "Or our faith is useless." So the resurrection is crucial for our faith. And for this reason this morning, we've gathered together, and what I've titled our sermon this morning is Resurrection Hope. We're actually going to talk about the hope of the resurrection, because in my belief, in what I believe that Christians have believed for 2,000 plus years, is that the resurrection actually is as important then as it is today. The resurrection has great impact on us. In fact, One of my favorite theologians is a man by the name of Jürgen Moltmann, and he was a German theologian, and what happened is he was actually a part of the Nazi army in Germany in World War II. And he was captured at the end of the war. He entered into it at the end of the war, got captured, and was in a prisoner camp. And it was in the midst of being in a prisoner camp that he came to believe that Jesus had died on the cross for our sins and that the resurrection gave hope for a new world. And so it transformed his whole life, because if you can imagine, after seeing the horror of World War II, people were pretty discouraged, right? There was a lot of despair in the world. And along comes Moltmann, who became what is known as the theologian of hope. But listen to what he says really quickly. He says, "Believing in the resurrection does not just mean assenting to a dogma, a belief, and noting a historical fact. It's not just that. It means participating in this creative act of God's. Resurrection is not a consoling opium, soothing us with the promise of a better world in the hereafter. It is the energy for a rebirth of this life. The hope doesn't point to another world. It is focused on the redemption of this one." Here at the Vineyard, we talk all the time about loving our city. We love Red Bluff. I love Red Bluff. Anybody else in the room love Red Bluff? Yeah. Red Bluff is a great city. But because of the resurrection, we have hope that Jesus can actually transform our city and our community. It's a resurrection reality. And what's interesting is if you talk to a lot of people, in the world, there's a lot of conversations about explaining the resurrection. In fact, there's some people who have suggested that the resurrection is basically an April Fool's joke. And today is April Fool's, and it ain't no joke, right? But some have suggested that. It's an April Fool's joke. It was just kind of a joke, and Jesus wasn't really raised from the dead. Others have suggested that Jesus' body was actually stolen from the tomb. You know, that some people went to the tomb and took Jesus' body out of that tomb and were tricking people, even though there were actually guards that were actually guarding his tomb in order to make sure that that didn't happen. Some have suggested that the resurrection story is the story of 2,000 years ago, people started saying the spirit of Jesus has been raised, and then it just kind of grew out of that and became some fairy tale. But let me tell you this right now. Jesus is actually physically, tangibly alive. The grave was empty, and we have great reason to actually have our hope and our faith based on that. And just for a minute here, some of you know, if you come to the Vineyard, I like to nerd out every once in a while. Four books that you should totally look into. Right now, pull out your phone, snapshot, order them on Amazon. Please tell them that I sent you, because I would like to get credit for that so I can borrow some more books with my Amazon card, okay? But there's four books listed up there that actually give great detail and reason for us to know that the resurrection actually is a historically reliable event throughout history. The first book I just want to mention is written by two scholars. One is a Christian, Gary's a Christian, and the second is Anthony Flew. Anthony Flew is one of the leading analytical philosophers who is an atheist. And over the course of 30 years, they've been engaging in a debate about whether or not Jesus was raised from the dead. And multiple times, Gary has demonstrated that Jesus was, in fact, raised from the dead. In fact, Anthony Flew, a few years ago, became a theist along the way of these conversations. But there's four books that would be helpful for you. But let me just say this, because I know most of you didn't come here for a book report this morning. So I'll digress. I will not nerd out anymore. Amen? My point is that there is very good supporting evidence to support the idea that Jesus is actually, in fact, alive. We are not gathering this morning to, like, think about a fairy tale. Jesus actually is alive. When we pray to Jesus, he actually hears our prayers. It's pretty fantastic. So the fact of that is that Jesus is alive and the tomb is actually empty. You know, and if you haven't grown up in church, you might not know the whole story. You might know bits and pieces. But the thing that Christians have been telling this story over and over again for thousands of years is this idea that when Jesus was born, he was fully God, fully human. He was born on this earth about 2,000 years ago, and that he lived a perfectly sinless life. Like, he did everything right while he was here. And, like, if you've ever read the Gospels, I mean, you can't help but just fall in love with Jesus. Anybody in the room read the Gospels, and it's like, he's so winsome. Anybody agree with me on that? Like, you just read them, you're like, oh my gosh, everything Jesus does is amazing. What I love about Jesus is Jesus is constantly inviting people who are marginalized and overlooked into his circle. He's constantly doing that. So, like, the people who are down and out, the never haves, never will be's, he's constantly saying, come to me, come to me. And then he's constantly jacking up all the religious people. Can I get an amen? Like, I just love it. I'm like, yes, yes. He's always constantly reframing the kingdom of God. But Jesus spends 30 plus years walking completely sinlessly and does all these amazing things. He raises people from the dead. He does miracle after miracle. He heals people. And then after serving his life, in this perfect way, demonstrating the work of the kingdom, he's actually arrested. And then he stands before judges, and he's beaten, and he's bruised, and he's spit upon, and he's whipped, and then he's condemned guilty, even though he was innocent. He's guilty, he's condemned guilty, and he's treated as a common criminal, and he's actually crucified. And the crucifixion is like just a terrible thing. In fact, Roman citizens at that time were not allowed to be crucified because crucifixion was such a grotesque form of punishment. But Jesus is nailed to a cross. His nails are put into his both hands and his feet, and he's nailed, and then he's lifted up for the whole entire world to see. He stands on that cross naked, and then he dies. And that's what we celebrate Good Friday for. And then, this is the best part, is that after 3 days, Jesus is powerfully raised from the dead on that Sunday morning, and Jesus is alive. It's a beautiful story. And what's interesting is that no one denies, like there is not a single reputable scholar or historian that denies that Jesus didn't live. He totally lived. Everybody agrees that Jesus was crucified. That 2,000 years ago, a Jewish man named Jesus was crucified. Everybody agrees with that. The challenge is that empty tomb. That empty tomb is a challenge. But let me just tell you right now that the empty tomb changes everything. It is a game changer. So listen to what Paul says again. He says, I passed on to you what was most important. He's actually saying this is foundational Christianity 101. This is the good news of the kingdom. He says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. He died for our sins. And then it says, just as the scripture said, but that's not where it stops. It goes on to say this. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And then he was seen by the apostles and by over 500 people, just as the scriptures said. The resurrection changes everything. What's interesting here to me is that certain wings of the church, and just kind of my experience in church, is that it seems like some Christians only want to focus on the cross, you know, where it's like gloom and doom. It's all about surrender and dying to yourself, and the cross is the means by which we can experience a salvation moment. And I think that that's okay, but you can spend too much time on the cross and deny the resurrection. And then other kind of Christians spend a lot of time on the resurrection. It's all happy hope, right? You get what I'm saying? Like, oh, you just need to have some new life. It's just resurrection. Don't worry about sacrificing. It's all about the good news of the resurrection. Here's the reality. We have to, as followers of Jesus, always have both cross and resurrection. That's the full message of the kingdom, the gospel, so to speak. And there's a reason why. It's because if we don't have both, we miss something. But only the resurrection transforms the cross from a symbol of despair to a symbol of hope. It's only the resurrection that makes the cross become a beautiful image of not despair, but hope, because even though Jesus died for our sins, he is alive. He is alive, and it is really, really good news for us as followers of Jesus. Now, let me tell you why I think it's an important thing for us to, as followers of Jesus, like camp out on this, okay? Let me do a quick poll. How many of you in the room would like to go to hell? I'm just checking. Just want to... All right, I'm just really glad that no one raised their hand because I'm not quite sure what I would do, right? I'd be like, oh, I mean, go to hell, I don't know. So how many of you want to go to heaven? All right, by the way, let me just say, if you actually read the book of Revelation, we are not going to go to heaven. What we read is that heaven actually comes to earth, that Jesus is going to renew and transform the planet we're on and make a new creation, and God is going to come and dwell with us forever. But I digress. The point is that you don't want to go to hell, right? Here's the thing. We actually experience our salvation because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So listen to this. This is beautiful. Paul writes that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And then he says, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So the same Spirit that powerfully raises Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit which will and does currently give us an experience of salvation for those who put their faith and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is absolutely a beautiful thing. And so that's why, on a personal level, the resurrection is so important, is because the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit which raised Christ, is involved in our lives. And I think what this demonstrates for us, if we can just take a little tangent, is that what we see in the Easter story is that God loves his people. He loves us so much that he gave up his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it's a work that displays both the love of the Father, the sacrificial work of the Son, and it also displays to us the work of the Holy Spirit in helping us to experience that salvation. And it's really beautiful. In fact, I think this verse is significant because what we see is that Easter is all about Jesus, right? Amen? Easter is all about Jesus, but it wouldn't be all about Jesus if it weren't for the work of the Spirit. It's the triune God working together. And that's why here at the Vineyard, on a side note, beginning next week, we're going to be starting an 8-week series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to spend 8 weeks talking about who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, all the activities of the Spirit for the next 8 weeks as we lead up to Pentecost. And so while we need to remember and celebrate the resurrection, I think we also need to remember that we actually not only celebrate the resurrection, but we're invited to participate in the work of the resurrection. So let me give you one last quote before we wrap this up. Moltmann goes on to say this. He says, "Believing in Christ's resurrection, therefore, does not mean affirming a fact. It's not simply checking a box," all right? He goes on to say, "It means being possessed by the life-giving Spirit and participating in the powers of the age to come." Easter is a lot more than Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. Amen? It is a lot more than that. And so let's go ahead and stand up together this morning. So I know that, like, we have a bunch of different people from different walks and different backgrounds and whatnot, and I love that. As Wes said earlier, you know, we're a church that's very committed to being diverse. We would like to see social economic diversity, gender diversity. We want to have men, women, young, old, and we also want to have ethnic diversity here at the Vineyard because we believe that that's a picture of heaven, so to speak. It helps us see what God's intended kingdom looks like. And so I know that there's people in this room who come from all different backgrounds. But here's what I also know is that some of you have come this morning, and like, you're a follower of Jesus, and you hopefully have just been encouraged by the reality that Jesus is alive. Like, when we're driving in our cars and praying, anybody do that? You're driving, you're praying because people are trying to kill you while they're driving, and it's never you. All right, while we're driving and doing that, and we're praying, here's the beautiful news, is that Jesus actually hears our prayers. The tomb is empty. Muhammad is still in his grave. Right? Buddha is still in his grave, but Jesus' tomb is completely empty. And so when we pray, we are praying to one who hears our prayers. And so it's encouraging. Easter can be really encouraging. But there's some of you in this room that maybe you've never actually taken a moment to reflect on the powerful truth of Christ's resurrection. And maybe it doesn't have an impact in your life. But let me just tell you right now, the resurrection of Jesus should impact every area of our lives. It impacts the way that we treat people. It impacts the way that we share God's love with people. It impacts the way that we view our city. It is because of the resurrection of Jesus that we can have hope that Jesus actually wants to transform the city of Red Bluff because God loves Red Bluff. Amen? And so wherever you came from in this room, you might be from a lot of different backgrounds. But let me just share one last passage of scripture with you. This is how crucial the resurrection is. Jesus and Jesus' work is. Paul says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved." So the death and the resurrection of Jesus is what we center our faith on. It's where we ground our faith. And so I'd like to invite you just to close your eyes and bow your head right now. This is a time where it's between you and God, and not about your neighbors. But I think we would really miss an opportunity if we didn't this morning just respond to this reality, this truth about Christ's death and his resurrection. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come right now. And we thank you for your presence, and we thank you for the hope that we can have because of Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension. and his promise to come back once again and to establish the fullness of his kingdom. And so if you're here this morning and you have not made a personal decision to follow Jesus, you have not put your faith into the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and you are at a space where you're thinking, hey, I would like to do that. We want to encourage you to do that. The thing about Easter is that Easter is about new beginnings. And some of you in this room, this is a perfect opportunity to start a new beginning, so to speak, with God. And so with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, if you would like to make a decision this morning to follow Jesus, I would like to just encourage you to start right now, just to put your hand up. Just to acknowledge and say, I want to make a decision this morning to follow Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. I would like to trust in his death and his resurrection. Anybody else? And for those of you that have raised your hands, let me just tell you from here, you know, what Jesus does is he invites us into the process of becoming one of his disciples. He invites us into his kingdom. And so this is a new beginning. And so I want to encourage you to begin praying. If you don't have a Bible, come and talk to myself or Wes. We'd love to get you a Bible. And just begin gathering with other followers of Jesus. And that's where you can continue to grow. And so, Father, I also want to just pray for everybody else in this room. I pray that you would bless everybody, that you would give us grace as we continue to go out into the world and to make a difference in our city and to love those who we are around. And I pray that you would give us grace in all that we do and say. And Father, for those who have raised their hand and have began or initiated a relationship with you, Father, would you give them grace and give them your presence as well? And we pray this all in Jesus' name. God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. We have two services at 9 and 11.